Let us turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms and Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we'll read from the beginning. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are some things that believers are sure of. They are sure that they are sinners. They are sure that they need a Savior. They are sure that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They are sure that this man receiveth sinners. They may not be sure of themselves where they stand, but they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, that he is calling them to come to him for salvation, and they are sure of this: him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But there are times when they can go further than that. And David is saying here not only that the Lord is a shepherd, he's not only saying the Lord is the shepherd of his people. David is saying the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And here in this text, he is not saying only that God is good and merciful to believers, but David is saying goodness and mercy shall follow me. And not just I hope goodness and mercy shall follow me, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, let every believer say that not only the Lord is a shepherd, but pray that they would know that the Lord Jesus Christ is their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And also that just as they would desire that Christ would be their shepherd, they would also be brought to say with confidence, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And not maybe, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as we consider this last verse of this psalm that is probably the most well-known psalm in the whole book of Psalms, let us consider first of all the blessings which follow God's people. The blessings which follow God's people. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And then secondly, the blessing in front of God's people. And that is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He dwells in God's house now, and he will dwell in God's house forever. So the blessings which follow God's people and the blessing which is in front of God's people. Pray then this evening that every one of us would be amongst God's people, that all of us would be brought to say, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. That we would not just know the psalm and have it memorized, but that we would know the shepherd, that we would come to Christ, that we would know him as our personal Savior, and that we would lay hold of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First of all, the blessings which follow God's people. Goodness and mercy. Both of these blessings were sure to follow David. After looking at all the blessings that he enjoyed from God, considering that the Lord, Jehovah, was his shepherd, that he gave David rest, he gave restoration, reviving to his soul, God led him in the paths of righteousness, the Lord would lead him even in the valley of the shadow of death, so that David can walk fearlessly, even in the presence of opposition and death itself. David was getting a view of all of the blessings that he had enjoyed so far, and that he was assured that God would give him, that a table was prepared for him in front of his enemies, and that the Lord was anointing his head with oil and his cup was running over. Well, no wonder he exclaims, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." After all that he experienced, how can he not believe that the Lord would follow him, the Lord would continue to provide for him all of these blessings, goodness and mercy? It's as if all is summed up in these two words, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yes, it is goodness. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Goodness was following David, and all that David had experienced from God was God's goodness to him. Goodness and mercy. So all the temporal mercies that David enjoyed, safety in the presence of enemies, and a provision for David's needs, both in physical health and well-being, and temporal benefits of provision just to sustain him in this world, comforts of friendship and family and loved ones, all of these things are God's goodness to David. All of God's goodness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. But also the mercy of God. And this word mercy is that familiar word that we have referred to many times, translated very often loving kindness. And so God loves his people, and because he loves them, he shows kindness to them. It is his infinite mercy to them. Goodness and mercy, loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And this loving kindness comes to expression in various ways, including compassion upon those who are in a pitiful state, those who are in a miserable condition. God shows kindness to them in a way of tender mercy and love and pity. He helps his poor people. He rescues those who are weak, as David would rescue the little lambs from the beasts that tried to devour them. So the Lord was merciful to David and delivered him from the mouth of the lion, as he did with Paul, saving him from from Nero and imprisonment there at that particular time. As Paul says, "The Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion." Well, God delivers his poor, weak people in all their conflict and difficulties. He sees them in their weakness, and he comes quickly to rescue them in his loving kindness, in mercy, in compassion, tender mercy. And the word brings before us God's kindness, which is similar to the goodness of God. Again, all the provisions for David's needs, the Lord knows the needs of his people even before they commit their needs to him in specific petitions. God shows kindness to them, as David, when he was king, showed kindness to Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth sat at the king's table. The Lord, who is the shepherd of his people, is kind to them, and he provides for them loving kindness. And so he strengthens them in their trials, and he equips them in the conflict. He provides for them the whole armor of God. David says in Psalm 18, verse 35, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness," he says, "hath made me great." Thy gentleness, God humbling himself, condescending to help and lift up his people from the mire that they find themselves in so often. As we read and sing in Psalm 113, verse 7, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of the people." So God shows kindness to his people. But again, God's kindness to them is in love to them, loving kindness. God set his love on David from eternity. As we read in the book of Jeremiah, God says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." In love, God draws his people to Christ, just as in love he sent Christ to suffer and die for them. And the Lord, in love to them, delivers his people from their state of sin and death in loving kindness. And it is love that will follow the Lord's people all the days of their lives. Goodness and mercy, goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall follow me. Whenever David looked back, he would see goodness and mercy following him. He would see these benefits right behind him. And so he was assured, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He was certain of this, just as he was quite certain that there were enemies pursuing him. He was very sure of that. He knew that Saul was ready to track him down and capture him and probably slay him. Saul was hunting David down. David couldn't seem to get away from him. It seemed like the enemy was following David wherever he went. Well, much more, the goodness and mercy of God follows David. So if the enemies follow David, well, goodness and mercy follow David. Just as Saul and Abner pursued David, so goodness and mercy pursued David. It's the word that in the intensifying tense is bringing before us the idea of persecution, pursuing and persecuting. So David is saying that just as the enemy was in hot pursuit, so the goodness and mercy of God would never leave him, would always follow him in pursuit of David. So what amazing benefits David is testifying to here. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Well, these things are written for our learning, for our comfort, for our encouragement. The Lord has told us indeed that there will be difficulty. He says that in the world ye shall have tribulation. But while that is a certainty, let us not forget this as well, that just as there is tribulation in our experience, so there is also goodness and mercy, even more abundantly certain as it were. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," will always be right behind us. We will always be able to look and see, yes, there is goodness and mercy in all God's dealings with us. We will not need to look far behind us, because goodness and mercy are always near us, even in the greatest of hardships. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now there's another way of looking at God's goodness in contrast to our troubles. And that is, in the word "surely," which is also translated "only." "Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So this word surely or only. Sometimes it's not even translated, but it emphasizes the whole sentence. And it's a word to bring emphasis. It is either affirmative emphasis or restrictive emphasis. So it's either surely, it's affirming, or it's restricting. It's saying only or but goodness, nothing but goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And of course, both the affirmative and the restrictive are suitable to describe goodness and mercy. Surely and only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But you say, but we do go through trials. We do go through hardship in this world, do we not? Yes, we do. But if we were taking the whole view of things, if we looked at everything in the right perspective, it's like, here's eternal life, and here's a little bit of affliction down at the bottom. And if we're taking a view of God's amazing goodness and mercy to us, it's as if it's only goodness and mercy. Everything else disappears out of sight. When we get a view of eternal life, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And those are the things that believers will strive to look at, looking at Christ in glory, seeing his power, pleading his promises, and getting a view of the goodness of God in their life and what's ahead of them. Only goodness and mercy, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, knowing that it's continual. All the days of my life, throughout David's life, every day of his life, goodness and mercy would follow him. Goodness and mercy, the benefits and the loving kindness would pursue David every day of his life, like two sheep dogs following the sheep, one named goodness and the other named mercy. These animals, as it were, a symbol of the blessings of God following the Lord's people. So these blessings, goodness and mercy, will follow the Lord's people, so that, like Paul, they can say, and we know, and we have known, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's just as the Lord Jesus Christ, who assures his people at the end of the book of Matthew, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that word always is literally all the days. The Lord Jesus is with his people. Isn't that goodness and mercy when he is present with them? And not just sometimes, but all the time, all the days, every day, the day of difficulty, the day of adversity and prosperity, even to the end of the world. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and not even to the end of the world, but throughout eternity. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we consider in the second place the blessings in front of God's people. What stretches out before their view is the endless mercy of God. It is the sweet assurance that they will dwell in God's house forever. The blessings before God's people. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord. David is saying he will dwell there, and he will not be a stranger in God's house. He will live there. That's where he will dwell, in the house of God. Well, what is the house of the Lord? It's the house where God lives. And David is saying, that's where I will live. So basically, the Lord's house is where the Lord dwells, just like you dwell in your house. That's where you live. So the house of God is God's dwelling place. And where is that? It's Zion. As we sang in Psalm 132, verse 13, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." And of course, Zion is a picture of the church. The Lord is saying that, yes, his dwelling place was in Jerusalem, where Mount Zion was, and the temple was built on Mount Zion. That's where the Lord manifested his presence. But Zion is a symbol of the church, where God dwells and manifests himself. And that is you and me, if we are God's people. Remember what the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his own house..." So Christ is a son over his own house. Then he says, "Whose house are we?" We're God's house. We are the house of Christ. He's over the house of God, and we are that house. How can that be? Because believers are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God has designated them as the habitation of God through the Spirit. And again, it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, as we read there, where Paul says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners." You're not outside the house as a stranger, and sometimes you could come in, but you have to go home and to your own house. No, you're in the house. "You are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And that's what David is saying. "I will dwell in the house of God, in the house of the Lord forever." What he is saying is that he desires, and he's assured that he is, a member of the spiritual family. So it's not necessarily that he desired to frequent the house of God and worship in the Lord's house occasionally or very often. But no, he is a permanent member of the household of God. Where Paul speaks about the household of faith, that we're to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Well, let's pause a moment and let's ask ourselves, are we among them? Are we among the household of faith? If believers make up the house of God, and the house of God is where God dwells, and God dwells in the hearts of his people, does God dwell in my heart, is what we should be asking ourselves. And how do we know? Well, you know that you are a member of the house of God and he dwells in you if you have a broken heart for sin, a broken heart for sin. As God says in Isaiah 57, verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place," that's God is in heaven, in the holy place above, "with him also." So he dwells with certain people also. "That is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." So if we are humble and if we're contrite and we're saying, smiting upon ourselves and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," God dwells with us. God is near us. He's ready to revive us. If we're depending upon the sacrifice of Christ and with a broken and contrite heart saying, "Be merciful to me, take away iniquity and receive me graciously through the merits of thy beloved Son, through the precious blood of the Lamb," God dwells in us to revive us and comfort us. We're a member of the household of faith. And that's what David desired. That is what David was assured of. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He considered it a most blessed thing to dwell in the house of the Lord. We sang in Psalm 65, Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Why? That he may dwell in thy courts. Dwelling in the courts of God's house, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. He's not just admiring the high priest. He's not just saying, oh, those Levites are always there on the temple precincts. I would like to be one of them. No, he knows that he is. He's a member of the household of God. And he's saying it is a blessed thing to be a member of the spiritual family. And that's one point of examination as well. Would you count it a wonderful, wonderful blessing to know you're of the household of faith, that Christ is your Savior, that you have grace in your heart, that you're one of the children of God, and these are your people, and you want to be among them, and you look forward to coming, for example, to a prayer meeting because you want to see God's people. You've been seeing worldly people day in, day out. You want to see God's people now. That's one reason why you want to come to the prayer meeting. Yes, to be with the Lord's people. Because they're your people. I'm a companion to all those who love and fear and obey thee. David desires to be with God's people. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Not just a day or two, but forever. And being a member of the spiritual household involves being protected. You're in the house. You're not in the thunderstorm. You're inside the house where it's comfortable and safe. In the household of faith, Satan cannot break in and destroy the peace and security. In the household of God, you have all your spiritual needs met. Christ is the head of the house. He's a son over the house. And what head of a house does not provide for the family? So the Lord Jesus Christ provides a table for them, a table even in, that provides the finest of the wheat. And in the house of God, there is communion, there is fellowship, fellowship with God and fellowship one with another. And of course, coming to the house of God to worship is the exercise that God's people enjoy, where their spiritual membership comes to higher expression. And so there's a reason why we say, let us come to the house of God to worship, because that's where the spiritual membership and the spiritual exercises of God's house is most fully manifest, in the house of God. And they come to get a view of Christ that is set forth in the ordinances and the means of grace. And in the house of God in worship, they give expression to their love and gratitude to Christ. Well, this enjoyment of fellowship in the house of God, David says, goes on forever. And in the margin you see, it reads, to length of days. To length of days. Well, how do we know that means forever? Because there's other places in Scripture that uses length of days in the most obvious context of eternity. Just one example, Psalm 21, verse 4, he asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. So this length of days is to eternity. And so we know that this being in the house of God will go on forever in heaven itself. We know that's where God dwells. Solomon says, hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place. And so God not only dwells in the hearts of his people, he dwells in heaven. And that heaven is where God's presence is most fully manifest. And Jesus says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. David was assured, I will be there also. I will dwell in the house of the Lord, not just here on earth, but in heaven above, forever. It's as if it's really one house, here on earth and in heaven too. And as Spurgeon puts it, it's like when believers die, they go to the upper story in heaven, the same house of God's people and the presence of God himself. Yes, it's a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's the place where God's people will behold the face of God in light and glory. We read in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. They're members of the household of God. They're serving him in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Yes, the tears will be wiped away, and the eyes will be wide open to behold the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And what a feast that will be, all eyes upon the blessed Redeemer. And having experienced goodness and mercy all the days of our life on earth, if we're the Lord's people looking to Jesus, we will experience infinite blessings forever, made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Well, in conclusion, remember, David is not saying, perhaps goodness and mercy will follow me sometimes. It's not a peradventure I will dwell in the house of the Lord. But surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. There is no doubt in his mind. No doubt he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, that's the assurance that we need to pray for. Let none of us be content, well, I hope I'll go to heaven. A hope? A wish? You need to be sure. Once you die, there's no changing states. Make your calling and election sure. Does it take a little more effort to find out? It might. Go to your Bible. Attend diligently. Pray for light, assurance, and comfort. And resolve. Faithfulness, that you, like David, who was a man after God's own heart, he was diligent. He had sinned, yes, he fell, but he was praying and he was broken and he was humbling himself before God and he was seeking with all his heart. Let that be your experience. And you'll be able to say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lay hold of Christ, all of us. Look to Jesus. He's willing to be our shepherd. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Go to him. He will receive you. And you'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. May he bless his word. Let us pray.